I'd ask you to meet me in Luke 15, if you will, and if you're able, please stand. Luke 15, and we're going to read verse 1 through 4. Luke 15, verse 1 through 4. It says, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him." And that's a precious verse right there. I mean, the Lord loved sinners, and they drew near to hear him. Then verse 2 says, and this is something you always have to deal with, "And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost until he find it?" Jesus is he's here doing the will of the Father, and he's being criticized for it. And so Jesus uses a parable to explain to these folks who are murmuring and complaining why he's seeking and to reach sinners, and he does that. Father, I'd ask you to bless this evening, that this message would be something that I'd be able to communicate, that your Spirit, in such a way that your Spirit could use it, and that it would be an encouragement to this dear church and to these missionaries, and that we would all go our way knowing that we are literally fulfilling heaven's work on earth as we seek to win the lost to you. And we'll thank you for the privilege. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated if you will. Have you ever wondered why preachers make such a big fuss about missions? I've been in some churches, and honestly, I preach a lot of missions conferences. I've been in churches, I felt like that if somebody would have made a motion that we discontinue the missions program, it would have got a quick second and a unanimous vote. Because people sometimes aren't real excited about missions. But the reason that pastors and churches make a fuss about missions is very simple. Because heaven makes a fuss about missions. Heaven makes a fuss about missions. Here's the Lord here, and he's spending time with publicans and sinners because he has a message for them, and he's being criticized for it. And he kind of says to them, look, this is very easily understood. And so he gives this parable, and I want to just give you four or five things tonight, how heaven is involved in missions. How heaven is involved in missions. Number one, heaven is performing missions work of seeking and drawing men to the Savior. Did you know that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit is involved in drawing sinners to the Savior? The Bible speaks about the Father. He says, "No man cometh to me except the Father which has sent me draw him." And so God the Father, according to John 6:44, is drawing men to the Savior. Then the Bible says in John 12, it says, "And I," this is Jesus, "and I, if I be lifted up from earth, will draw all men unto me." So God the Father is drawing men to himself, and Christ is drawing men to himself. And then the Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 8 and verse 14, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." So the Spirit of God is drawing men to the Savior. It's much like this. You look at the Ethiopian eunuch. Now, he had the Scripture, and he was reading it, but it was beyond his understanding. He needed help. Well, the Bible says that the Spirit of God compelled Philip out of the minutes or where he was to, and he just had it, and it's kind of like this. It's like he just told Philip to go down into the wilderness, and their paths just crossed. And it was like from heaven, God was working this out. He knew a man here who was seeking and needed help, and he had a servant here who had the answers, and so they they joined at a particular point. And it was like God working all of that out. And I'm just saying to you, heaven's doing that. I've heard the missionary story, and I believe it to be true, though I cannot verify it. The missionary story of the missionary who was handed out New Testaments, the small New Testaments. And he was trying to give these out to passers-by, and one man didn't want anything to do with it. And he said, well, I'd love you to take it. This is the Word of God, and it will bless your life, and you can come to have forgiveness of sin. And he said, I don't want anything to do with it. So he kept on and said, I'd really like you to have it. And he just put it in his hands. Said, I want you to hold it. So he put it in his hands, and he found out that the paper was a very high quality, very thin paper. And he said, well, I'll tell you what, if you give this to me, I'll use it, but I'm going to roll my cigarettes with it. And so the missionary was first, well, I don't want you to do that. No, and then he thought, no, I want you to have it. And I'm okay with you using the paper to roll your cigarettes, but make a deal with me. Before you roll a cigarette, read the page. And the fellow said, well, that's a deal. I'll do it. And years later, he gave the testimony. He said, I smoked all of Matthew, smoked all of Luke, and I smoked all of John down to chapter 3 and verse 16. Yeah. I'm just telling you, that's how this works, because the Father and the Son and the Spirit are all working together and drawing men to the Savior. And you've put your hand this week to the work of heaven. In missions. Let me give you a second thought. Here's something else heaven is doing in regard to missions. Heaven is rejoicing over the results of missions work. Look what he says in verse 5. And when, now he's still in this parable, right? He's going after this lost lamb, this lost sheep, till he finds it. And then when he finds it, verse 5 says, and when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise shall joy be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. See, when someone does come under the work of the Spirit of God and they yield in faith and repentance, then the Bible says that they're made the child of God, and the Bible says that heaven, and I just envision it this way. I like fireworks, and I like the ones that just really go up high and really have this delayed kaboom, and then there's just like that. The Bible pictures what I envision as this massive rejoicing in heaven when someone bows and receives Jesus Christ as their Savior. The Father rejoices. The Son rejoices. The Spirit rejoices. The angels rejoice. The saints rejoice. Just this massive celebration of sinners on earth being saved and saints and all the occupants of heaven rejoicing because a sinner has come to know the Lord. I just envision that, and I think about that this way, because I have a good imagination. I can't tell you that it's honestly completely always biblical, but I try to envision things, and I can see a mother and father. And they're dealing with their son or their daughter, and they're living for the Lord, and they've witnessed to their son or their daughter for whatever reason they haven't come to the Lord. And I can see mom and dad passing away, and that son or that daughter still unsaved. Now, I don't know how it is in heaven, but envision in heaven that maybe they can see more clearly than we can see here. Now, from the pulpit, I can tell you that I've seen people that I felt like was under conviction. I could see, I felt like, but I don't have a perfect sight that way, but I felt like they were under conviction. But imagine if in heaven saints have perfect insight and perfect vision. And imagine they can see the Spirit's working. And so they left this earth and went to heaven without seeing their son and or their daughter coming to know the Lord. And they may see their son or their daughter living as they are. the life of sin, the life of wickedness, the life of iniquity, the life away from God. And that mom may be burdened, that dad may be burdened, but they can see the Spirit's working. And they see the consequences of their sin bearing upon them. And they see the Spirit drawing them to Christ. And I can see maybe if they can see how the Spirit progresses in that, maybe they know how close they are. Maybe they can see them getting closer to repentance and faith. And I can just see mother and dad in heaven just anxious about this. And as they see the Spirit working and that individual being broken by sin and its consequences and coming to himself and getting weary of his sin and desiring the things of Christ that mom and dad talked to him about, and the Spirit working, I can just see that mom just getting excited and getting anxious, and that dad getting excited and getting anxious. And I can just see them and looking at one another and saying, He's getting awful close. If he can just get in before sin takes his life, and then I can see the Father, who I know has perfect insight. And I can hear him say, Y'all get ready. Hold it just a second. Stop it just a minute. Something very important is fixing to happen here. And as soon as that boy or that daughter bows before the Lord and calls on Jesus, I just hear him say, let's go, get it on. It's time to rejoice into there's one who my son purchased and died for, and his death will not be in vain in regard to that one. It's forever in the family. And I'm just telling you, heaven's rejoicing that way. It's what they're doing. And by your participating this week in this mission, you've created some excitement in heaven, because they know that you're going to send those who will take the redemption message. And they know that the redemption message being preached, there will be those who come to the Lord. I can tell you a personal story. We have three children, three grown children. I have a son, and then our first child was our son, and then two daughters. And my son was he had a problem. His problem was he was just exactly like his daddy. That's the only problem he had. And very independent, spirited. And when he was in high school, we were worried about his salvation experience. He walked the aisle when he was a young boy, but we just didn't always see what we wanted to see. And he got into high school, and his senior year, he was just pretty independent. And to the point that one day we had to have a sit down, and I had to say to him, son, everybody that lives in this house is going to reverence the Lord, and you're going to respect your parents, and you're going to be responsible with the chores and the things that we do around here. Everybody has them, and I don't feel like that's too hard. Those three things I'm unbendable on. You're going to reverence the Lord, and you're going to respect your parents, and you're going to be responsible. And I said, that's everybody. That's me. That's your mother. That's your sisters. That's everybody. And I had some appointments that night, and so when I got home that night, he had packed his stuff and he was gone. It's his senior year of high school. So quite a bit of turmoil and difficulty with not knowing what and where and how. I'd never done that before. Didn't turn out like I thought it would. Make a long story short, he joined the Navy. Was shipped to Yokosuka, Japan. Let me tell you how this went. He got over there, and he got lonely and homesick. And his path and the path of an American missionary crossed. And one night, really early in the morning, we got a call, and it was our son. He said, Dad, I got saved. I can tell you there was some rejoicing in the house that night. There was some excitement in the house. And that's what they're doing in heaven every time anyone comes to know the Lord. So heaven is drawing men. Heaven is rejoicing over men who come. But then look at Acts 13, will you? Let me give you another thought. Acts 13. And you're able to see into a church setting here in Acts 13. You get to see right into the ministry of a church. A church is gathered and they're doing what churches are supposed to do. And it says in verse 1, "Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manon, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul." And it says in verse 2, "As they ministered to the Lord and fasted," now look here, look at this, "the Holy Ghost." Now that's one of heaven's participants. "The Holy Ghost said, 'Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them.'" You know what heaven is doing? Heaven is still calling men to the ministry. He still is. He's calling us to... Every child of God is gifted with the Holy Spirit. Every child of God is gifted with gifts. And every child of God has a particular calling that God desires from them. And He's still, even like this day, He's still reaching in. And the call that Saul and Barnabas had is the same call that your pastor has, that I have, and that God may have for you. It's the same Holy Spirit all these years later, and He's still coming to churches, and he's still reaching into churches and putting His finger upon young men, young ladies, young couples, and saying, I want you to represent me in the ministry. And I don't want to take away, because I don't want to make so much of the call that I minimize normal Christianity. But I want to tell you that I just read an article this past week about churches who are losing their pastors and there's nobody to replace them. Let me tell you, the shortage in pastors is not because the Holy Spirit's not calling. It may be because we've stopped emphasizing His call to the point that people don't understand and they don't know how to explain that yearning in their heart, that compelling in their heart, that I talk way too much about myself, but I don't know how to express what I'm trying to say without giving my testimony. And I struggled. We got right with the Lord. We were doing everything we knew to do. Had this emptiness in my heart, and so I'd volunteer for everything. Need somebody to sweep the floor? I'm it. Need somebody to set up chairs? Call on me. Need somebody to sing in the choir? We did that. Need somebody to whatever, we did it. All I wanted to do is follow my pastor around. I'd watch him in the eyes to see if he had that look on his face like he needed something, needed a door closed, needed the thermostat turned up, whatever you need. I watched him because I wanted to be a blessing and a help, and I just wanted to do whatever I could. But nothing seemed to fill me with whatever fulfillment I was looking for. One night after church, it was about 11 o'clock on a Sunday night, I called my pastor and I said, "I need to talk to somebody." And he said, "Well," and I won't forget this, he said, "Dale, we've got company. Another family in the church is over at our house." And I guess I must have sounded a little disappointed, because he said, "But you come on over to the house and we'll talk." And he had company in his house, but he made time for me, and he and I went back to his office, and I just said, "I don't know what's going on. I'm doing everything I know to do, but I just feel this, it's urging in me that I need to do more." And he says, "Well, do you think you might be called to preach?" And I said, "I think so, but I don't want to just do it because my dad was a preacher. I don't want to just do it because others in my family have. I want to make sure." He said, "Well, it's reasonable to me
And he said, why don't you just surrender to it? And if that wasn't it, that hunger won't go away. So I surrendered to it. That was 44 years ago. And I'm telling you, my personality is such that, and I'm sure my wife just thought, oh, brother, what now? Because I was like multiple jobs. This is it. This is it. Sacrifice everything. Get into that. Sacrifice everything. Get into that. No, that's not it. Sacrifice everything. Get into that. And I imagine there were other people that thought, well, sure, it's just like everything else. But 44 years later, I still have that desire. When I retired from pastoring, I thought, I'm going to finally get to do a lot of the things I never had time to do. And I've got a shop with all the metalworking tools you would want. And I thought, I'm going to spend time out there and do all that stuff that I never had time to do. And I was out there for about a week and a half. And it was like, this isn't what you're supposed to be doing. So I'm just telling you, God may very well be, and I'm sure He has His eye on South Knollwood Baptist Church, and He's looking, and He has someone picked out, and maybe it's one of your children. Raise him for the Lord. Nurture him in the admonition of the Lord so that when God's ready to call him, He'll have ears for him. And don't ever discourage. We've come back from camp, and Seniors in high school have a broken heart and feel like God's called them to preach, and then parents set them down at the kitchen table and said, no, sir, we've got you a full ride at Texas Tech. You're not going into the ministry. And I'm saying to you, I think that's a dangerous, dangerous thing, because heaven is still calling people into the ministry. They're drawing sinners. They're rejoicing over sinners. Imagine getting to heaven and being wildly successful at something God cared very little about. But imagine getting to heaven and finding out that you were connected with exactly what heaven was interested in. What a time. Sinners brought to the Lord, rejoicing in heaven, called from the church to the ministry. That's what heaven's all about.